Now here is a story I heard from Ghana, that all the ministers over 70 years have been retired, and they've upgraded the church by bringing in young people to be ministers. So if I was in Ghana and a minister, I would be in retirement. But I'm not. So I'd like to give a message, but I would like to tell a story which I received. I don't know who sent it, but someone sent it about a week ago. It's about Billy Graham, the evangelist, who is now 92 years and retired from active preaching, and he's suffering from Parkinson's disease. So the council in his hometown, Charlotte, South Carolina, invited him to a luncheon, and at first he was not willing to go because of his disease, but it convinced him that he would not give any speech. So he decided he would go. And he bought a new suit for the occasion, because his children and grandchildren said he was a bit shabby. Billy bought a new suit, and during the luncheon he told a story. The story goes like this. The eminent physicist Einstein was traveling from Princeton on a train, and a ticket inspector came to the car and started punching the tickets. But Einstein couldn't find his ticket in his pockets, in his waistcoat, on the seat. Everywhere he looked, he couldn't find his ticket. So the inspector said, "Dr. Einstein, we know you might have bought a ticket. We know you, who you are. So don't worry, it's all right." And he kept on punching other people's ticket, but Einstein kept on looking for his lost ticket. The inspector finished inspecting the cab and was going to the next cab when he saw Einstein on his knees, looking everywhere for his ticket. Then he rushed him and said, "Dr. Einstein, I said it's all right. We know you might have a ticket, so don't worry." Einstein looked at him and said, "Young man, I know you know who I am, and I know who I am myself, but I don't know where I'm going." Billy Graham concluded by saying, "My next occasion that I wear this suit will be at my death. But when I die, don't rush to say, 'Oh, he bought this type of suit.' Remember me as a person who knows who he is and who knows where he is going." And to us Christians, this is a lesson. Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. Got no point. Without God, what is the meaning? So we, as Christians, we know who we are, and we know where we are going, because we have a Savior. And I always say, let us always focus on Him. For instance, those of you who were here last week, do you remember the sermon? Anybody? Sermon last week. What was it about? I don't remember. I don't remember, but I'll tell you, I'll be here every week as much as I can, because it's useful to worship your God with other believers. And it is also good that you have your Bible, at least a verse or two that you keep in mind. We had our brothers in China. Some are looking so much for the Bible that they will give their life to have a Bible. There was a man who was called a Bible man, who read the whole Bible in 10 days. And he kept on reading the Bible because it was valuable to him. But here we are. Let's always remember our life with God, especially our life with the Savior, Jesus Christ. all that we sang, all the messages, even from James Anderson, all is the same. It's not what you can do, what the Lord has done for you that is important. Truly, brethren, there is no point if we don't live with our God. In this country, and in so many countries, we enjoy lots of freedom, and we take things for granted. In this country, for instance, we enjoy political freedom, civil freedom, commercial freedom, press freedom, and many other related subjects, which drowns our attention that we are free. You can travel anywhere within the country by any means. You can walk, drive, take the coach, the train, aeroplane. We are free. It's drowning us. But our lifestyle is easy if you compare to other places. And we take our freedoms for granted. But are we truly free? There are many people and organizations working to bring more freedom to the people. Many people are fighting for civil rights, gender equality, and all other rights. And they are all physical issues. But there is less being done for spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is lacking in this country and elsewhere around the world. Millions upon millions of people don't know what spiritual freedom is. And they are in spiritual darkness. They are in chains. There is no Christ in their life. Therefore, they don't have the true freedom. Do we need to do more as Christians to help others come to Jesus, for them to have spiritual freedom? Matthew 11 and verse 28. Turn with me to Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. Jesus wants people to be in the light, not in spiritual darkness. And so he calls all mankind to come to him, for his yoke is light indeed. Brethren, do we realize that we have so many privileges that we need to share with others like us? There are many people who are in darkness. And as Jeff said, a little light dissipates all the darkness. But there are people who don't know anything about Christ. Truly, we as Christians, we need to share this message with them. But there is life after death, because the Savior will never leave or forsake you. Spiritual freedom, what the world needs. Spiritual freedom is what we need to tell the world. Christians are a bit silent when it comes to their beliefs because of fear. Or we take our privileges for granted. And there are a lot. I'll come to that later. Turn with me to Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's a promise. Go and tell them all that I have taught you. Only few people in this nation think of spiritual freedom. Scripture makes it clear that if the Son of God does not set you free, then you are a slave to sin. You are set free. You are no more a slave to sin. What about those who don't know Christ? Many people are slaves to lust. You know what lust is, brethren? Many people are slaves to ambition. Others are slaves to politics. Also gambling, of course, very popular. Some are slaves to fashion and football, of course. Yes, we had a group of young men some time ago, a few years back, shout, "Football is our God." And with a mind like that, you are in the devil's chains. All these people need to be freed by the Son of God. And this is the message we need to tell the world. There is no middle road. Either you are for Christ or you are against Him. Galatians 5. The book of Galatians 5. And there is 1 and 13. Galatians 5. Verse 1 and then 13. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Verse 13. You, my brethren, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. The world needs to hear the privileges that Christ has made available to His followers. We need to tell the world the hope that keeps us going. Why are we different from non-Christians? Why are we different from non-Christians? Christ's freedom can never be overthrown. If you believe in Him, it's a permanent thing. And there is a guarantee for you of eternal life. The freedoms in Christ is so vast, and it's for all eternity. It is forever. No enemy can take away our freedom that Christ bestows upon us. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice." And he repeated and said again, "Rejoice." But when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. John 8 and verse 36. The book of John 8. And verse 36, these are all verses that are very common to us Christians, but which are very useful. 8:36. So, if the Son, that is Jesus Christ, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Christ sets you free, and you are truly free. Sometimes, brethren, I think of the vast universe, and I pray we here on earth think of how to get to Mars. And we are finding it very, very difficult, okay, compared to the Son of God who was free. When He rose from the dead and Mary Magdalene's met Him, He said, "Do not touch me, I have not been to my Father yet." That same day in the evening, he said, touch me. It's not a question of traveling to Mars or to another galaxy, to heaven, wherever heaven is. Christ was able to go and come back the same day, faster than the speed of thought. This is called freedom. Freedom to go anywhere. Freedom to live forever. Freedom to rejoice before your God. That's the freedom we need to tell the world that we have, that we cherish, that makes us Christians. Rejoice if you are a Christian. The Apostle Paul says, I say rejoice. This is freedom that will never die at your death. Even when you die, you have still that freedom. Because he says, I will never leave or forsake you. That means he is with you. Always. And God is the God of the living. So, even the dead are not dead before him. This freedom goes beyond the grave. It is cemented and secured by the blood of the Son of God. The Son of God himself has secured your freedom, and it can never be destroyed. But the freedom of the nations lasts only a few centuries at best, whereas the freedom Christ gives us will outlive this material universe. Remember somewhere in the Bible, the Apostle Paul said the world and the universe will roll like a scroll, and then God will renew and create a new universe. Your freedom will outlast this world universe that you live in. And that is what freedom is truly about. Freedom that continues even when we are dead. Freedom that this changing and dying world needs. And that's what Christians have. And Christ our Savior has given to us. Brethren, spiritually speaking, nothing can touch those whom he has given freedom. Your debts have been paid in full. When Christ said it's finished, he meant exactly that. He has paid the full price for your sins and for your debts. So he has made you free. The Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. But how do you know you are spiritually free? Well, baptism and attendance in church, they are important. But it is believing in Christ, your faith in him as Savior and Redeemer, that sets your soul free. So you can attend church, but if you don't believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not worth anything. You can be baptized, but if you don't believe in him as your Lord and Redeemer, that is not faith. Christ has paid the full price, and he has set you free forever. It is by faith that we become free. Free men and women. Spiritual liberty comes when you put that trust and whole weight, your whole problems, on him. Faith in Jesus is very important. There is a verse in one of our songs which states, he sets the prisoners free. A person may be in prison for life, who have no hope of getting out. But because of his belief in Christ the Savior, his soul is free, and he enjoys inner peace. Physically speaking, there are so many people in jails around the world who may never come out. But there are Christians who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So their behavior is different. They know they are spiritually free, and that is what we have. We mustn't take it for granted. That sets us apart And that is why we need to tell the world that Christ sets the souls free. He breaks the chains of Satan and brings you out of the dungeon of the devil. These prisoners who may never come out are free because they are Christians. We are born slaves and servants of sin. Therefore, we are born as children of wrath. And the only way to become Christ's freed person is to humbly come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him as our Lord and Savior. This may be difficult for others, but it is not difficult at all. Being set free from your sins, from the chains of Satan, and from the sting of death, it's easy if you come to understand who Jesus is. It is by believing that souls are set free. He who believes in Christ is not condemned, rather is justified and is an heir of God and has everlasting life. You see, all creation belongs to God, and He has given all this to His Son, and the Son is willing to share all things with you. With your soul in chains, you cannot share these things. But when you are free, you will live with the Son of God, always and forever. So we believe that the freedom we receive from Christ, our Redeemer, is far higher and lasting than any political or civil freedom. Liberty is ours when we believe in Him, when our faith is in Jesus. And that is the point. We need to tell the world. We have so many friends who do not believe in Jesus. We have so many friends and work colleagues who do not believe in Jesus. Our neighbors don't believe in Him. We need to tell them in a humble and wise way. By your own action, they know you are different. And they will need to know why you behave as you do. This offer is for all mankind, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, male or female, black or white. It's for all sinners. No sin is too great for the redemption that Christ gives. Romans 10 and verses 9 to 13. Romans 10, 9 to 13. Cannot even find it. 9 to 13. Where are you? Okay, here we go. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. Same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So freedom is there for every human being. The worst offender will be pardoned and receive the freedoms we enjoy in Christ. The hope we have that death is not the end. The hope we have that we will live forever in eternity with the Lord. This is good news indeed. There are millions upon millions who need Him, who need to come to Jesus for everlasting life and freedom. Brethren, we believe that Christ's offer of freedom will not die at our death, but will go on with us beyond the grave. Christ said, he who believes in me will not die, and even if he dies, I have the power to raise you up from the dead and grant you life eternal. John 6 and verse 40. John 6 and verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. So you see, even death has no hold on Christ and the freedoms he gives to us. That's why we need to tell the world that there is life after death, and that death is not the end at all. To us all Christians, know that we are looking forward to the coming of our Lord. We are looking forward in faith and hope for the good things to come. We are still in this body. So far as we are in this earthly body, we will have problems. We will be tempted by the devil. We may feel sometimes that we have not been redeemed. We may be sick. We may suffer sorrows. We may suffer pain. Even we may be assaulted by some people, those who hate us. We are going through a lot of problems or difficulties. Yes, we are not there yet, but salvation belongs to us. So whatever we may be going through, what we have to learn is it is temporary. It's got no root. It's the ways of this world. Christ said, do not take them out of this world. He knows why. He asked the Father that we shouldn't be taken out of this world. And we are going through all these difficulties, sickness, even maybe poverty, sorrows, and all other such problems. But let us remember, we are still in the wilderness of this world, still poor and weak, and the devil is still around. As I used to say, even when we kneel down to pray, he's around to tell you, oh, your prayer is going nowhere. Why, you are tired, why don't you fall asleep tomorrow morning, then you can pray. He's still the tempter, but he has no hold on you. Christ has broken the chain. Your foundation is on the solid rock. Poverty and wretchedness is only temporary. There is coming a time when the devil will be banished, and he will not tempt you anymore. One day, our great Redeemer, who has gone to heaven before us to prepare a place for his people, will come, and our redemption will be complete. So, brethren, the day is coming when our redemption will be truly complete. In the meantime, when you suffer, bear with it. For the time is coming when there will be no more suffering. Let us be serious in proclaiming the message of Christ and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world are in confusion, and the world is shaking erratically, so to speak. Nobody is certain of tomorrow in this world. We don't need to say Brexit and all that. But the world is in a turmoil. But we know there is a world coming that will end all this confusion and suffering. Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord. He's not far off. Whatever difficulties we are going through, one day soon, our Lord will suddenly come, and faith shall be sight, and hope will be freedom of certainty. Brethren, you are free if you believe in Christ. But what about those who do not have Christ? They are not free. So we need to share this message of hope with them. The world we live in is shaking. Fear and uncertainty is so rife. We need the assurance of Christ, who will never leave or forsake us, who will go with us beyond the grave, and let us enjoy the freedoms he has given us. So cheer our brethren and share the good news with your fellow human beings. Amen.